Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. Jesus taught in the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer us to pray in these words, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then as an addendum to the Lord's Prayer, he explained in verses 14 and 15, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The mistake in calling this prayer the Lord's Prayer is obviously apparent in this fifth petition, Forgive us, because there is one confession, there is one word that Jesus never communicated to the Father, and that was, Forgive me. Hebrews is plain in that it teaches in verse 15 of chapter 4, that though he was tempted in all points, just as we are tempted, he was without sin. So that the Lord Jesus was perfect and never, never once needed to say, Forgive me. He never had to apologize to anyone because he never committed a sin. But our Christian lives begin through forgiveness. I love the word. I love the thought of forgiveness. Not only do our Christian lives begin in forgiveness, but they continue day by day with forgiveness. I have often told young couples in premarital counseling that there are two essential ingredients to a successful marriage. On the one side of the coin, there is love. But on the flip side of the coin, forgiveness. And it takes both for a successful marriage, but it also takes forgiveness and a sense of being forgiven to live a spirit-filled life day by day. It's appropriate that we should consider this fifth petition at a time when we come to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We are reminded that as our Savior was being raised on the cross, having been nailed to it, and as the cross was raised and dropped into its slot, our Savior said this prayer, the first word from the cross, Father, forgive them. So we want to consider today in our preparation for this sacrament, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we want to answer three questions that this petition raises. The first question is this, what in fact is a debt? And then the second petition or the second question is why do we have to pray regularly, daily for forgiveness? And then the third question is obvious that we want to answer that this petition raises, and it is this. Do I really need, must I really forgive my neighbor in order to be forgiven? Consider with me, firstly, the question, what is a debt? You know that some versions, as well as some prayer books and some denominations, when they pray the Lord's Prayer as a congregation, they will say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I must say that I prefer what is translated in the New King James Version and what we say regularly almost every Sunday morning, because I think that when Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts, that says precisely what the Greek and what the meaning of the word Jesus means to teach is. There are a lot of different meanings of sin and words for sin in the New Testament and Bible. There's a word for law breaking. There's a word for deviation, a word for shortcoming, a word for rebellion, a word for pollution, a word for missing the mark. All of them mean, can be translated sin, but all of them have special nuances. And the nuance that Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer is the special meaning of a sense of debt. What does he mean? I think J.I. Packer is right when he suggests that the idea of unpaid debt in the Lord's Prayer means this, quote, Jesus' thought is that we owe God total, tireless loyalty, zealous love for God and men all day long and every day on the pattern of Jesus' own love. And our sin, Packer says, is basically failure to pay the debt to God. You see, defined this way, what Jesus is saying, that sin, our debt, consists essentially not in the sins of commission, but in the sins of omission. For the saddest sins are not those that we have done, which we recognize, which we see, which are before us, but the sins, the failures that we have not done. The Bible that was left unread, the prayer that was left unsaid, the witness that was left ungiven, the opportunity that was missed. Those are the saddest of sins. After all, Jesus taught in His discourse on the last things in Matthew 24 through 26, the basis of our judgment. Listen to this. The basis of our judgment that Jesus taught in Matthew is that we will be judged on the basis of what we have not done, of the opportunities that we had that were lost, of the words that we could have spoken that could have healed and ministered to people that we did not. Well, that is Jesus' focus. His focus is that of an unpaid debt that we owe to God. I rather like R.C. Sproul's definitive illustration when he said, "It is as if, or suppose I owe Byram Towers $10,000. Now, if someone comes up to me and gives me $10,000, and then I come to Byram and I pay him the $10,000, is Byram obligated to accept what I am offering him? Yes, he is. I mean, I have the money and I'm ready to pay him. He is obligated. But notice this. Suppose I stole $10,000 from Bill Wharton. If I stole $10,000 from Bill Wharton, I've done two things that are wrong. One is I have committed a crime, but I also owe a debt, a monetary debt as well as a penal debt. Now, in that case, if a friend comes along and offers to Bill $10,000 on my behalf, is he obligated to accept it? No. He doesn't have to accept that $10,000 because I owe a penalty. For I stole that money, and he doesn't even have to accept the $10,000 that my friend offered. What Jesus Christ did that we present to our senses visibly is He was willing to accept, God was willing to accept the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross for my unpaid debt, for A, I owed Him, as it were, a monetary debt, a debt of obedience, but I also owed Him a debt, a penalty, because I had sinned against Him. But God, in His marvelous mercy and grace, said, "I will accept the sacrifice of my Son on your behalf." That's why I say the summary of the gospel can be expressed in just one word, and that is the word forgiveness. Forgive us. That is the gospel. There is no more glorious, no more beautiful word than you can hear from this pulpit today or any other time, because friends, you and I are debtors to God, and there is only one way that we can pay the debt, and that is through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. Now you tell me, isn't that good news? That's what we're celebrating today. In this sacrament, the debt is unpaid, but it has been paid by Christ. There's a second question. Why pray for forgiveness regularly, daily? I mean, if as the Bible teaches, your sins and my sins have been paid for, past, present, and future, already, then why is it that we have to pray every day for God to forgive us? You know, John 5:24, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he who believes on him that sent me has everlasting life," that is, it already is a possession, "does not come into judgment in the future, but has passed already into life." From death to life, there are the three elements, past, present, and future. So that once you are accepted in Jesus Christ, every sin, every thought, every imagination, every shortcoming, everything that you could do wrong has already been cleansed by Jesus Christ. But why is it that I still have to pray for forgiveness then? The answer is this. Or the answer is seen in distinguishing between, on the one hand, God as my judge, and on the other hand, God as my heavenly Father. You see, as a judge, God has already pronounced me guiltless and accepted me as sinless, not because of myself, but because of Christ's righteousness. But on the other hand, God is my Father. And the relationship in which I stand with Him as an adopted son, I sin against Him daily. And though my salvation is never lost, and though my eternal security cannot be broken, listen to this, your fellowship with the Father can be broken. And if you and I are not daily, daily repenting of our sins, then we are not enjoying a fellowship with God. You may have had a glorious conversion experience last year, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, and all you can talk about is when you were converted. But what about today? Are you experiencing the flush, the rush of joy that comes from the assurance that you have already faced the judgment in Jesus Christ and that your sins have been removed in the miracle of the new birth? If that doesn't excite you, you must be spiritually dead, or your fellowship with God is broken. The thought of being forgiven is just overwhelming. And it'll change your life. Has it changed your life? Well, that's why we need to repent, because our fellowship with God can be broken, and we need to repent daily so that we stay in touch with our Father. Well, there's a third question quickly. Must I really forgive others in order to be forgiven? Boy, those are serious words that the Lord Jesus spoke in the explanation of the fifth petition. He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Must I forgive others in order to be forgiven? You want me to answer it simply? Yes. That separates the hypocrite from a believer in Jesus Christ. According to Jesus, these are not my words, but I'm taking what Jesus said seriously. According to Jesus, the forgiving are the only ones who are forgiven. Those who hope for forgiveness must be willing to tell Him, "I also forgive all of those that I could hold up their wrong and not forgive them." I must be willing to give to everybody that I know who owes me something because they said something or they did something. I must be willing to give them a clean slate. Every day, Jesus said 70 times 7. That is, you'll never run out. You see, because every sin that somebody does against you is to be forgiven. And so you start all over again, 70 times 7. This is not a matter of qualifying forgiveness, but it is a matter of qualifying repentance. You see, a person who truly is repentant, a person who truly has been moved by what Christ did for him at the cross of Calvary, is a person who knows that he has no right to hold anything against anybody else, because he himself ought to go to hell. But God loved him, and God saved him, and God forgave him. Now, how can you and I not be forgiving toward other people? There's a poem, and with this I'll close, that I think says exactly what we are thinking about. It goes this way, quote, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? In blazing light your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. How small the debts men owe to us, how great our debt to you. Lord, cleanse the depths within our souls and bid resentment cease. Then reconciled to God and man, our lives will spread your peace." Amen.